Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin. I forgot to set the background, so I'm going to be doing that while I talk for a little bit here. But, the Lakers just beat the Washington Wizards in overtime, 134-131. You would like to be able to say here that a win is a win is a win. And usually that is how I would normally treat this. Hell, even if the Lakers would have won by like 7 points or so in regulation, I would have said, you know what? Fine. Second night of a back-to-back. These kinds of games happen. But no, in this one, this was a bad loss, right? You should not have to play Anthony Davis 41 minutes to beat the 9-win Washington Wizards. You should not have to play LeBron James 39 minutes to beat the 9-win Washington Wizards. And, you know, given the Lakers schedule that they are about to embark on right here, that is not the way that you needed to treat that game. So we're going to talk about the approach. We're going to obviously give AD and LeBron their flowers. And man, like, I've watched a lot of Darvin Ham coaching. That might actually have been the worst game I have ever seen that man coach, which might make it the worst game I have ever seen coached. All of that coming up here in a second. A quick reminder, I am now Anthony Irwin, Lakers insider for Lakers Daily. You can see their logo down there at the bottom right of your screen. Another also reminder to please hit that subscribe button, help this thing growing, all of those good things. If you are listening in the morning in the form of in the audio form, please do hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably Odyssey. And let's keep this thing rolling. Now, the Lakers again, final score here, 134-131 at home against the Washington Wizards, who brought a 12-game losing streak into this game. A 12-game losing streak. They have now lost 13 games in a row, and the Lakers tried with all of their might to lose this one. It was, you go down the line here. Obviously, Anthony Davis, LeBron James special, right? 40 and 15 from Anthony Davis, 31 and 9 and 4 from LeBron, D'Angelo Russell, 4 of 11 from three-point range, 9 of 21 from the floor, Rui Hachimura, 4 of 11 from the floor, Reeves, 6 of 11, was significantly better in the second half than he was in the first. Your role players there, Torian Prince plays 17 minutes. The Lakers won, so they are now 13-1 in games that Torian Prince plays fewer than 24 minutes or 25 minutes. Jackson Hayes, Spencer Dinwiddie, who I thought played like okay, I thought in this one, though even he was being used kind of weirdly, where the Lakers needed a defensive sub, and Spencer Dinwiddie was your sub there, not Max Christie. Max Christie plays 9 minutes. Was a plus two in those 9 minutes. But the role players here, and specifically Austin and D'Lo, I thought in this one, set a really poor tone defensively, where everybody, and actually Rui also, set a really poor tone defensively, where everybody who was dribbling and moving with the basketball was getting by them and getting into the paint. And the Lakers, you know, they do have a backline that can make up for those things. But you can't give up 131 points to the Washington Wizards. You just can't. You can't let Jordan Poole play the best game of his Washington Wizards career. That can't happen against you. And if that's what like the Wizards guards are doing to you, I like Tyus Jones. Jordan Poole, I think, is better than he's been this year. I think eventually we should get a bounce back season from him. But it can't happen against the Lakers. And I feel like that's how the rest of the league is looking at that backcourt, where D'Lo doesn't do anything defensively. Austin isn't physically capable of being an impact defender who is capable of like making up for D'Angelo Russell. And then Rui is too slow-footed to guard his shadow on the perimeter. So like this was just a really bad game from those guys. And what's frustrating to me about it is, you know, the Lakers beat the Clippers last night. And apparently after the game, according to Dave McMenamin, LeBron walked into the locker room and was like, we cannot waste this win by losing to the Washington Wizards tomorrow. And those guys heard that and were like, watch or bet, as the kids say, right? LeBron's like, we cannot waste that win that we just picked up against a historic comeback that we just picked up against the Clippers. It is all for naught if we go out and suck up the joint against the Washington Wizards. And the rest of the guys in that locker room, other than Anthony Davis, were like, oh, yes, we can. Whew. What's the Usher meme, right? Ooh, watch this. Right? Like, those guys are just like, oh, yes, I can. Boy, can we. And the Lakers did. It was a predictably frustrating loss that the Lakers were frankly lucky to get away with. And, you know, I had that tweet in the first half of the Clippers game that people were dunking on in the second half of the Clippers game, or in the fourth quarter of the Clippers game, where I said that this team and this organization just doesn't have commensurate respect for the sport, the kind of respect for the sport that you need to be consistently successful. And this game is such a perfect amalgamation of all of my frustrations, where you need, like, those are still professional basketball players over there. Yeah, just barely in some cases, but those are still professional basketball players over there. And if you let them hang around and make a game of it, guess what they're going to do? They're going to make a game of it. And that's what they did. And you know, now the Lakers are going to embark on, frankly, the toughest stretch of the season. You would have liked to get a fourth quarter rest for LeBron, for Anthony Davis. LeBron had two dunks in the first quarter. It was clear he was trying to put the Wizards away early, but nobody else was really interested in it other than Anthony Davis, who also had kind of a slow start offensively. So it's just, this is why I had Matt Moore on the show last week or the week before, and he was making the case that, like, the Lakers are still worthy of a bet, a 50-1 championship bet. I didn't make that bet. I couldn't. I don't see this team winning a championship. They aren't serious enough. This isn't a serious organization right now. So long as you employ Darvin Ham, you are not going to win a championship. And so long as, you know, whether or not guys give a fuck is dependent on LeBron James's attitude on any given night, and that is, like, the only thing that defines it. And even in some cases, that isn't enough. Tonight, that wasn't enough. Those guys still didn't care. And the Lakers just barely beat an absolutely horrendous basketball team that the Washington Wizards were, who were missing, like, their third best player, right? Bilal Call, I'm never going to remember how to say his name. But Koulibaly was not available in this one. He's, like, their best wing defender. And the Lakers were still made this game way too close of a game. It's just, I'm going to move on. I want to talk about LeBron and I want to talk about Anthony Davis, but I cannot stress enough how unserious this team is right now. I do have a super comment from Brandon Oemeng, so that means I get to play this. Fuck Washington! I need to improve my mood. I'm going to do it again. Fuck Washington! Brandon Oemeng writes, I just don't trust D'Lo down the stretch. On paper, he's probably a better player than AR, but AR comes through in clutch time. I do think, all game, basically, the Lakers were trying to get anybody else going. And then when it came time to get, like, winning possessions, the ball was in Austin Reeves' hand. And that's why I really wish that we would get, you know, more minutes from Max Christie, because I would love to see a Austin and Max Christie backcourt, but apparently, like, we just aren't allowed to get it. And Darvin Ham after the game apparently said, this is from, yeah. So Jovan Buha tweets out that Darvin Ham says Cam Reddish was experiencing soreness in his ankle. So the Lakers decided to rest him and play Max Christie instead. By the way, give up on Cam. Just give up. Like, he's street clothes and he's inconsistent. Just give up. Give those minutes to Max. Just say, all right, Cam, we get it. You're not serious. Cool. Go sit over there. You need to get healthy. Go get healthy. Go get healthy over there. Max is better than Cam Reddish anyway. Just play Max. You don't need to keep on going back to Cam Reddish. It shouldn't take a Cam Reddish injury to have to get Max Christie into the game. What are we doing here? You can't just. Anyway, to the point that Oming is making, which again, I'll bring it up. Don't trust D'Lo down the stretch. On paper, he's probably a better player than AR, but AR comes through in crunch time. I just think Austin's floor is higher than D'Lo's when he has the basketball, right? I think Austin is at the very least always going to try to make forward progress with the basketball. D'Lo is a little bit too comfortable sometimes taking the step back three pointer or, you know, not forcing the issue and trying to get into the paint as far as he can. D'Lo is also in a bit of a funk right now. He doesn't want to shoot his floater. And I think that's really thrown off his game. But, and by the way, I think the Lakers would prefer to not have to play D'Lo down the stretch. Like, that is something that the organization is probably a little nervous about heading into the postseason, is they would like to be able to just, you know, have Austin out there, rely on LeBron on the ball, and then have a better perimeter defender next to Austin. But Darvin Ham refuses to play Max Christie, so we're just stuck here watching either Max and D'Lo just be barbecue chicken for any opposing backcourt, or apparently we have to wait for Cam Reddish to get his next boo-boo. But I do want to talk about LeBron, and I do want to talk about Anthony Davis. I thought it was really interesting that LeBron played in the second night of a back-to-back here tonight against a Wizards team that you should be able to beat without LeBron. But I also think LeBron has paid very close attention to this season so far, and it's just saying, like, I don't trust these guys to win, and the Lakers couldn't afford to lose this game. You look at the Lakers' schedule coming up. I'm going to pull it up while I kind of filibuster here for a second. The Lakers roster, or the Lakers' schedule, the next few games is just insane. Like, it is legitimately terrifying what the Lakers have ahead of them here. I just grabbed it, so I'm going to go ahead and add it over here, and I'm going to bring it's a screenshot, so I'm going to put that up here. Should have done this before. All right. So the next few games, or the next, I guess, like eight games that the Lakers have in front of them, they have Denver, OKC, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento, Golden State, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Indiana, and you can't see it there at the bottom, Milwaukee. That is the next stretch that the Lakers have ahead of them. This is why this game was such a must win for the Lakers, because if you lose this one, that means you have to win an extra game against like Golden State, who are playing great basketball. You have to beat, Sacramento, or Atlanta is the game that you chalk up as a win. Philadelphia, you probably chalk up as a win. But beyond that, you know, you hope that if you lose this one, you have to beat Denver or OKC or Milwaukee to get back on schedule. And that's why LeBron played in this one. The other thought that crossed my mind with LeBron was, I don't think he wants to leave any excuse whatsoever if and when the Lakers fall short of expectations this year. I don't think he wants to leave any doubt or excuse whatsoever to not fire Darvin Ham if and when they fall short of expectations. And, you know, if you say, you know, if the Lakers barely make the 10 seed, or if they don't get to the, you know, if they don't hold the 10 seed, then, you know, the excuse, if LeBron doesn't play on the second night of back-to-backs, like, well, you know, we didn't always have LeBron, and, you know, it was kind of we dealt with injuries. We didn't have Vando, and we didn't have this guy, and we didn't have this guy. And LeBron is basically saying, if and when that happens, it is not going to be my fault. It is not going to be my availability's fault. And I think he really wants to force the issue this summer to get rid of Darvin Ham. I'm going to write about that soon here for Lakers Daily, which again, they hired me to be their Lakers insider, which I'm incredibly thankful for. AD also just special in this one, you know, 40 points. He plays 41 minutes, gets to the free throw line, makes 12 of 13 there. Three blocks, four steals, and you know, was just poor Rashawn Holmes had no business being on the court with him. Marvin Bagley was in foul trouble early because he had no idea what to do with Anthony Davis. And it was just one of those games. And by the way, excuse me, by the way, when you get that from Anthony Davis and LeBron, you get 70 combined points for them. You get 19 combined rebounds from them. You get 13 combined assists from them, two steals, four combined blocks. The two guys combined to go 16 of 26 from the field. The two guys combined to go 17 of 20 from the free throw line. That's a game you win by 30 points. That's a game you beat the Washington Wizards by 30 in, and those guys get to sit out the fourth quarter. You don't waste that kind of an effort from those guys to just barely squeak by the Washington Wizards in overtime. That is not how this should go. You know, like, it was funny. Like, Anthony Davis is always going to be a very happy-go-lucky guy. You know, I'm obviously not on the beat, but when I talk to the beat guys, when I talk to anybody close to the situation, everybody says their favorite person on the Lakers is Anthony Davis. He is just that kind of a delight to be around. LeBron, if you saw him at the end of that game, he hit a three that tied up the game, I think. And normally you make a three in overtime at home, crowd's going nuts. You know, LeBron's going to celebrate, right? He did the crazy thing against the Clippers. He likes to, get the crowd back involved in the game, all those things. He makes the three-pointer. He gets back on defense. He's like, you got him over here. You're over there. He's already commanding the defense. And, you know, like, he knows this is just not a serious team right now. I think we're nearing the point where he sees the writing on the wall, not just with not just with his coach and this front office, but just as importantly, these players who, by the way, he probably wanted gone at the deadline because he saw some of this stuff coming. And you know, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, special tonight. And they're going to have to be special from here on out because there is just nobody I trust on a night in, night out basis to be put in the right spots to be successful. And then, you know, or just to be successful on their own. Which brings me to Darvin Ham. I should probably take a deep breath before I talk about this because this is, I have never seen anything like this. It's about 3 or 4 minutes left to go in the game. I'm going to go to Jovan's timeline here because So Jovan, LeBron checked out at the 3:26 mark and then checked back in with 1 minute and 11 seconds left in the game. So of the final 5 minutes that the Lakers played in a close game against the Washington Wizards in a must-win game, LeBron was not out there for 2 minutes and 15 of those seconds. So almost half of the final stretch there. I used to do the pressure cooker, right? This wasn't a nationally televised game, but for almost half of winning time there, LeBron James wasn't on the court. So I guess Stu Lance said something about, you know, LeBron maybe asking for a breather. I don't see that from LeBron. He has played enough crunch time to like not need that kind of a break. But also, and way more crucially, the Lakers finished regulation with two timeouts. You had two timeouts, Darvin. and the game just kept on going. And you're sitting on the scorer's table next to LeBron James. You're sitting right there, bud. He's sitting right there, the best player that we have ever watched play basketball, the best career we have ever watched play basketball, is sitting right there next to you. You have timeouts. You have possessions that you could have called timeout for. Nope. We're going to sit this out. We're going to wait. Meanwhile, the nincompoops who were on the court forgot that Anthony Davis had 34 points to that point in the game and just iced him out. LeBron gets back into the game, and he finally remembers, hey, guys, by the way, that Anthony Davis guy, they have no answer for him. We should maybe get that guy the basketball. You know who usually helps with that, even when LeBron isn't out there? The goddamn head coach normally helps with that. The guy who's like tasked with making sure that people stay focused on the things that you do to win basketball games. But nope, Darvin's just sitting there, hands in his pockets. This is a good game, right, LeBron? Wait, Bron, why aren't you in the game? Like, it was nuts. I'm not kidding. I have never seen that before. I have never seen it where a team's best player is sitting out half of crunch time because your head coach is too, like, caught up apparently in the game that's playing out in front of him that apparently he is getting paid to watch. He's the world's highest paid fan, Darvin Ham is. And he's just sitting there watching LeBron James watch the game with him. And LeBron's just sitting there. Hey, bud, you can, like, can you call timeout? We got two. Can you do anything? Do you know what you're supposed to do here? Right? It's the office space thing. So what exactly is it that you do here, Darvin Ham? I've never seen it before. And you know, you combine that with Max Christie only getting 9 minutes. The only good thing that Darvin Ham in this one was played Taurean Prince fewer than 24 minutes. Other than that, it was a disaster class from Darvin. And he's the worst coach I've ever seen. And that's the worst game I've ever seen him coach. And that is like, that makes this inherently the worst game a Lakers coach has ever coached. And at some point, like, we're just waiting. Like, we're just... We just have to sit here and wait for this front office and this leadership, this ownership group to like see the same thing we're all watching. Well, we're just like waiting for this guy, like for this organization to finally fire this guy who is actively detrimental to your championship aspirations. This guy is actively hurting your chances of winning basketball games against the Washington Wizards on February 29th. Like, well, how do you think he's going to fare against better teams? Teams that aren't injured in the way Memphis was last year. Teams that aren't about to implode the way that the Golden State Warriors were last year. The Warriors are playing good basketball now. You know, like, the Lakers, you could make a real case. I think you could probably almost say this objectively. The Lakers are the worst of the play-in teams, or like the 1 through 10 seeds going into that spot, and have no idea about their identity. Darvin Ham was asked about like making sure this isn't a trap game. And he's talking about all the things that the Lakers are still trying to figure out about themselves. Darvin, you're 65 games into the season. You shouldn't still be like searching for the number of things that you claim to be searching for. Like, at some point you gotta like actually coach this team to win basketball games. And you know, one really important thing to win basketball games, play LeBron James in crunch time, Darvin. Like, that's what? How am I? Like, how do I need to like say this or explain this here? Do I need to put the Joker stuff back on? Like, are we losing our minds that like this guy just doesn't seem to understand that? It's unbelievable what we have watched from this guy from the start of the season till now. And you're waiting for any sign that this guy's getting any better, but he's getting worse. This is the worst game that he's coached. You trade for, miraculously sign Spencer Dinwiddie. He's being used in all these multi-guard lineups that force him to be a spot-up shooter. Spencer Dinwiddie is shooting like 29% from three-point range this year, and he's being turned into a spot-up shooter. And then when you need like defensive stops and stuff like that, Do you go to Max Christie? No. Why would you do that? Why would you play your best perimeter defender? Nope. You go to Spencer Dinwiddie to play like critical on-ball defense down the stretch of that game. It's just, I'm so sick of this organization fumbling LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Like, I'm so sick of them just farting away the opportunity that they have right now. They are too spoiled. They are too entitled as a front office and as an ownership group to understand the opportunity that they have in front of them. And rather than actually do what is best for this team and fire this guy months ago, when you had basically a mutiny and you had multiple people go out and talk to The Athletic and talk to me and say how bad this guy is, rather than like address it then, no, you double and triple down on the guy. And now you're pot committed and you can't do anything this late in the season. Meanwhile, this guy feels confident enough to bench LeBron James down the stretch of a must-win game. What are we like? This cannot possibly be how the LeBron James and Lakers like working relationship ends with Darvin Ham at the wheel. It just can't. This guy, like, I don't know if I would trust him to fly coach, let alone coach a basketball team. He's a disaster. I've never seen anything like tonight. I was losing my mind on All Access Lakers. For those of you who were watching there, I Raj of all people was ready to cuss. Raj, the sweetest person I know, was getting ready to just like light everybody on fire. But no, like, this is just, I guess it's just the status quo. This is what we come to expect of this organization. And it's just, it's insane what we're watching here. All right. I am going to collect myself. Take a bit of a sip of wine here because that was not good for my throat. I can't believe that. Have any of you seen anything like that before? I have not. That is not something I have ever seen in all of my years watching basketball. Somebody screw that situation up the way that he did. I meant to bring this up earlier. I had a super comment that we weren't able to get to, and it happened like right after the show ended. So I am going to find that to put it up on the thing as well. That gives us an opportunity also, obviously, to play this. So this is from earlier. LeBron, Rui, Vando, Wood, Hayes, and AD should be the 3, 4, and 5 spot. You know whose name is not there? Taurean Prince. You know whose name is not there? Spencer Dinwiddie, who has spent time at small forward this year. It's just mistake after mistake after mistake with him. We have more super comments here. Lil Chris Johnson again writes, Ham's going to play 4 guards against these big teams. Yeah, it's just insane. Oh, yeah, my bad, everybody. I have to play this. You look at the minutes allocation here, and Austin Reeves, 39 minutes. D'Angelo Russell, 44 minutes. And that means, you know, Taurean Prince played 17, which is fine. I would like to get him at like 20 minutes. Like, he should play. He's a 20-minute-a-night player, period. And that allows you to play, you know, he's better defensively than like D'Lo or Austin, and he helps you there. Max Christie only plays 9 minutes in this one, in a game that went to overtime. And by the way, he only played those 9 minutes because Cam Reddish wasn't able to play beyond his 4 minutes. It's just not great when those are 3 wings, Christie, Reddish, and Prince, who are just, and Prince got, or Reddish got hurt, so I guess we won't count him there. But those are 2 NBA caliber wings that Ham is just choosing to not play. And, you know, I know that I've called for fewer Prince minutes all year, so I'm not going to be totally hypocritical there. But I do think, though, that, like, you can't, like, when D'Lo and Austin are barbecue chicken to the extent that they were tonight, you do at some point need to like bench them and tell them that they need more, like the team needs more from them defensively. And when you have guys like Max who are capable of defending in that way, that's how you do that. That's how you afford yourself the ability to sit him there. Brandon Omeng, our coach isn't serious. Oops, sorry. Got to go back up here. Fuck Washington! Our coach isn't serious trying to call, trying to count. Oh, man, you forgot about this. Trying to challenge a bad call, gets a tech down the stretch and doesn't call timeout to bring in LeBron. So the challenge was a goaltend that he was super upset about and was getting ready to unilaterally call a challenge for. LeBron apparently stands up from the bench and tells him, no, we could all see Rui's hand up through the net when the ball was on the rim. That is clearly a goaltend. So Ham says, never mind, I just want the timeout. And it's really fortunate that the Lakers didn't get, didn't take that challenge there, because later Denny Avdija runs over LeBron in a super obvious way. By the way, the refs tonight were just garbage, a special kind of garbage, but they were really bad. Avdija runs over LeBron, and fortunately for the Lakers, because they didn't lose the challenge earlier, they were able to challenge that one, and they were able to retain possession on that play. Then LeBron gets fouled on his way to the basket on a dunk, and clearly a foul. And even he was upset, but he didn't pick up a tech. Darvin, however, in a close game late in the fourth quarter, decides, my time to shine, baby. And he picks up a tech. One fewer point from Washington means that the Lakers don't go to overtime. So it was just like mistake after mistake after mistake. And like we just mentioned, he also, for some reason, decided it was a good idea to not play LeBron James for half of crunch time. The next super comment, and by the way, greatly appreciate this stuff. It nothing brings me more joy than to be able to play this clip. Fuck Washington! Justin Tindall writes, he crapped on about saving timeouts for Braun and AD for the end of the games, and then what does he do? Yeah, like he's talked all season about how he needs to save a timeout here and there in case LeBron and AD play long minutes, and then he doesn't use the timeout that he saved to pay to get LeBron back into the game. Again, you will never see something like that from an NBA head coach. It is not something you will ever see, them having their team's best player sit there next to him at the scorer's table for half of crunch time in a close game of a game that they absolutely needed to win. That just does not happen. We just witnessed unprecedented levels of ineptitude from Darvin Ham tonight. And on that note, we'll go ahead and get out of here. We do have a happy hour tomorrow. I know it. I'll try to lower it. The levels on clips, it just kind of depends on what the original levels are. There aren't like editing abilities in StreamYard, unfortunately. So that's just kind of what it is. But I'll see what I can do to try to lower those a little bit. That is in response to Kimetsu Hyperion asking if I can lower the fuck Boston down. I don't know. I feel like normally you would want to say that at like as loud as you possibly could from the mountaintops, but that's just me. All right. So the plan here tomorrow, I'm going to try this out. As soon as I figure out what time I will be going live for the happy hour, I'm going to send a note out to our lounge VIPs. They will get that note, and if they can hop on here and do the show with me, we will do the show together. They'll ask questions. They'll give takes. We'll enjoy our Friday afternoon together and send us all into the weekend with a little bit of fun. If nobody is able to join, send your questions in the form of a 5-star review to iTunes, and I will definitely answer those. I'll ask for questions on Twitter, and I'll answer some of those here. And then obviously, as we do every happy hour, I will also take questions and comments from the live comment section as I am recording. But I would like to get this off of the ground with our lounge VIPs, because I want to finally reward people for that commitment to this thing and their assistance in helping this thing grow. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin, saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you when you're ready. Please, Lakers. Like, this, whew, man, unbelievable.